Greetings and welcome once again to one of our Kidney Conversations, hosted by the Barbados Kidney Association. I'm your host, Jason Bell, and with me today are the Vice President of the Barbados Kidney Association, Mr. Adrian Boyce. Good morning, Adrian.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm grateful, man. I'm so happy to have you all.
Happy
to
be here.
As we continue these kidney conversations. And right here, Catholic Corner, here beaming at me, is Nurse Ruth Shorey. Good morning, Nurse Ruth.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
All right. And Nurse Ruth Shorey, I understand you are the transplant coordinator at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
Yes, I am.
Excellent. How long have you been a nurse and how long have you been working with that particular department, nurse?
It's been about 30 years or so I've been a nurse.
Wow.
And I have been working actually as a dialysis nurse about 26 years this year.
Wow.
As a non-dialysis nurse.
Excellent.
And it's about 19 years now as the transplant coordinator.
Excellent. So we brought you in specially today to obviously speak about kidney transplants and the process and so on, as we have a number of patients here in Barbados who have benefited from the program, yes? But I wanted to work with you, Adrian, on a little bit of a recap over what we've covered in these past kidney conversations. Let's review. What is kidney disease and what kind of causes kidney disease and how is it treated, and then we can get started on the transplantation process, Adrian.
Well, thanks for your question, Jason. Kidney disease is any malformality that happens with the kidneys over time. It could be either genetic, it could be caused by poor health practices, or it can be caused by maybe hereditary, you know, family and so on.
Yeah.
And like most non-communicable diseases, it is a silent killer, right? You don't necessarily have symptoms until it gets very severe. So some of those symptoms may include being lethargic. You have edema or water retention in the feet. They sometimes have pain in the back or headaches, nausea, that type of thing. And it's usually due to either poorly treated hypertension or diabetes. Yeah. Or if you have been, you know, poor health lifestyle. Yeah. So that's like, you know, a lot of
Smoking and drinking
fried foods, that kind of thing. Not nutritious.
Not enough water,
especially, and lack of exercise as well.
Yeah.
And then there's the hereditary bit, which comes from through, you know, family and so on.
Right.
That we would have mentioned with our former PRO, Sabrina.
Yeah.
Hers would have been a hereditary situation.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it is important to have your checks done during the year.
Yeah.
I know a lot of men, especially, are afraid of going to the doctor.
Yes.
But I implore them that, you know, it's very important to have your health checks done
regularly. Yes.
Especially when you reach a particular age.
Yes.
All right. So in your 30s and so on, start getting familiar with your doctor, your physicians and so on, because there are things that are happening in your body that you don't recognize. Right? Especially in Barbados, hypertension and diabetes. If these two in particular are managed well in the early, you can have an even longer life expectancy.
Yeah.
Right? And in terms of getting your checks done, either you're a GP or you can have, there's a foundation here named Forlam.
Yeah.
They do free kidney testing. And you can always go on their website, forlam.org.
Yeah. Book an appointment.
Book an appointment. It's free of cost.
Yes.
And once you book that appointment, you go, you have a little blood drawn, and you're able to determine where you're at.
Yeah, in terms of the stage.
So there are five known stages.
Yes.
And many of those symptoms I had mentioned before only come around, say, between 3 and 5.
Right. So it's best to catch it early.
And, you know, as the old people would say, you know, prevention better than cure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Seeing that there's no cure, per se, for renal failure or kidney disease.
Right.
And in treating renal failure, there is dialysis.
Right.
Okay.
And we spoke about two types of dialysis, correct?
That's correct. There is the hemodialysis.
Right.
And then there's peritoneal dialysis.
Yes.
Which is the home therapy.
So HD.
HD.
And PD.
That's right.
Right.
Definitely. HD, hemodialysis, you have a short outpatient procedure done to have a fistula, which is the joining of a vein to an artery.
Yeah.
So that in the process of the dialysis, it can withstand the pressure and tension of the actual dialysis.
Right.
It may even be a catheter to the chest or in the lower region by the leg or what have you. Many main artery, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In terms of PD, catheter is inserted in the peritoneum, which is in the abdomen.
Yeah.
And there's a change of something called dianeal, which is a fluid that draws the toxins on the body.
Correct.
And releases into the drain bag from the cycler that is provided. That's a home therapy. People ask which one is better. the most important thing is that they're both doing the same job, right?
Right.
Yes, there are caveats to having HD because the hemo is taking the blood out of the body point at a time, whereas PD is using a fluid or solution to draw the toxins out.
Right.
So it's a little gentler on the body at the end of the day.
Both have their risks, yes, and both are appropriate for certain situations.
That's correct. That's
so
correct.
I think the message that we want to convey to the public is please get tested regularly.
That's right.
And seek medical attention if you are experiencing any of these symptoms.
Yeah,
or if you're living any of the lifestyles,
yeah,
that you mentioned. Uncontrolled diabetes, uncontrolled
hypertension
yeah, can lead you down a path that you can't come back from.
Always usually more difficult to yeah, reverse that yeah, damage that was done. Not saying that it's impossible, but depending on where you're at, where you're tested, could either make or break you.
Correct.
And just wanted to clear up something from the last episode.
Okay.
Where a person may have thought that I said, once you're on PD, you can't go have a social life. I didn't mean that.
I could speak to that because I saw you yeah, at a social event recently,
exactly, Adrian.
I think it was Horton Festival, right?
That's right.
So we might outside.
Yeah, definitely. You have to enjoy life that you have. You
exactly.
Know? I just want to straight up, you can't have a social life.
Yes.
Right? I didn't mean that you can't go and whatever, but I'm just saying you have to work out your time to have your therapy done.
Correct.
Right? So if you are working, you know you have certain limitations, but if you're not working and you go into your therapy at any time once you do your therapy, don't that's skip it. Take the time. I know it's frustrating, but it's for your benefit.
That's yes, it. Make a note of the following numbers if they want to get in contact with the Barbados Kidney Association. If they have any questions, comments, concerns, sure, they want to reach out by phone or WhatsApp. What's the number?
1-246-234-8803. That's 1-246-234-8803.
Right. And you're also available on social media, correct?
That's right. On Facebook and IG as well. Our Facebook, you can find us at Barbados Kidney Association.
Right. The Barbados Kidney Association.
That's right.
And on Instagram,
Barbados Kidney.
Barbados Kidney. Yeah. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
All right.
And so we have all our information there.
Today's main conversation, and this is where we'll introduce Nurse Shori. Nurse Shori, tell us a little bit about the transplantation process.
So to get to the transplant stage,
yeah,
you are either a patient living with kidney disease,
mm-hmm,
you're either having hemodialysis or peritoneal dialysis, or you haven't started any of those two treatments yet, but you're exploring your treatment options.
Okay.
So once you are in that stage, you're exploring your options. Once you know about us, you can either self-refer yourself, you can call me, or you're referred to me by one of the nephrologists.
And nephrologist is
the kidney doctor.
Kidney doctor, nephrologist.
So once contact is made, I will give you an appointment, set an appointment with you.
Mm.
And at that appointment, I always advise persons, set aside 2 hours of your time to come and sit down and talk with me. If you've already had a discussion with your family member or a person who is interested in donating for you, bring the person along. Bring along your significant other. Because there are always questions. So it usually works out that I'm talking. I don't want it to be as interactive as possible.
Right.
So I'm talking and I'm asking, trying to get you to ask me questions. Because it's a lot that we can talk about.
Yeah.
And that 2 hours can fly really fast.
Right. Okay?
So that visit, I give as much information as I can. If you are exploring your options, I give you information on the 3 types. Hemodialysis, peritoneal dialysis, and transplantation.
Okay.
I give you all that information. Then I'm going to focus it now on transplantation and give you the risk and the benefits for both potential recipient and the potential donor. I give you the information leaflets and I like persons to go home and discuss it further because you need to know what you're getting yourself involved
in yeah,
to make it informed.
It's a life altering surgery, I'd imagine. So for instance, if I'm considering donating one of my kidneys, because mm-hmm, you can survive off one,
yes,
right,
mm-hmm,
but I got two, I'm given to someone who needs one. Are there any limitations or what qualifies me to be a good potential donor?
For our program here at QVH, we let you to be 21 years and over.
Right.
Reasonably fit, have no cancer,
yeah,
have no diabetes. Hypertension, we could work with you, but that takes some investigation. You must have the ability to make an informed decision. You must have mental capacity.
Right.
Or you must be free of any psychiatric illnesses, anything that will prevent you from making a good informed decision.
Mm.
So we do certain tests. These are the eligibility tests. We do these tests. As we go along, we check in, we're ticking off and we're ticking off. Any stage along the investigation process, you can be eliminated.
So then would it make sense for a kidney patient to have like 2 or 3 people lined up as options?
Yeah, I normally tell them at that visit, it's good to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, even a plan Z if you have to go all the way down there.
Whoa.
Because our population, because we are predominantly of African descent, we are at high risk for hypertension, diabetes, obesity. These are the main risk factors for kidney disease. Many of us are walking around not knowing our kidney health. You know, much diabetics we've pick up
just during this process.
Hypertension. Sometimes, God forbid, we do pick up one or two persons who only have one kidney. Some persons can be born with one kidney.
Oh,
but you
goodness.
Wouldn't know unless you have abdominal ultrasound.
Right.
So as they say, along the process, any of those investigations can show us something that prevents you from going forward.
Let's go with the best case scenario.
Okay.
All the boxes have been ticked and the person is willing and able to donate their kidney. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Say we've ticked all the boxes, we know that they're compatible on the blood type. Everything is good to go. We set a date for the surgery. So they would come in 3 or 4 days before the surgery. They would start the immunosuppression medication.
Mm.
So along the whole process, they're being constantly being educated about what is happening, what to expect.
Right.
So they will start their medication and they are admitted the day before the surgery. And the next morning, surgery day, we start early. Our theater nurse will normally send for the donor about 6:30 in the morning. We like to start our surgery around 8, but things could delay that. But we just start around 8.
Yeah.
Before any complications or delays, that surgery can take about 2.5 to 3 hours. Surgery nurse, again, she likes to send for the recipient around 11:30. So while we're finishing up the retrieval surgery.
And that kidney is where?
And that kidney is kept in theater.
Okay.
On preservation and ice and a special fluid that is infused to keep it preserved.
Right.
And we just concentrate on suturing up the wound and stuff like that. I must say that our retrieval surgery is hand-assisted laparoscopic. So we don't do that big open cut anymore. So in recovery time for our donors without any complications should be about 2 or 3 days in hospital before they go home. And they be monitored at intervals until it's time to go back to work. And then used to be monitoring them at intervals.
I presume then the recipient stays longer in the hospital.
They stay a little longer. They can stay about 7 to 14 days, sometimes a little longer. The reason for that is that this is a person who would have had high levels of creatinine, urea, toxins in the blood.
Right.
So we are monitoring to make sure the kidney is working properly. Sometimes kidneys don't start to work straight away. Sometimes we have a little delayed function. They go to sleep a little bit. Once they wake up and they start to do the work, we monitoring to make sure the levels are going where we want them to go. The levels are coming down gradually.
Right.
And the pressure is being controlled properly.
Right.
We don't have any other complications that could occur post-op. Once we are happy that things are going in the right direction, we prepare a patient for discharge.
That was quite a journey you took us through as we continue our kidney conversations. With the couple minutes we have left, Adrian, please tell us about what you're planning to do for this week.
We had our opening church service at St. Cyprian's on Sunday,
right?
As well as the walk in whole town,
okay.
Our kidney walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of fun usually, yes?
Yes.
Yesterday we had a panel discussion.
Zoom, right?
Yeah, navigating the NCD landscape and transplant solutions. Started at 5:30, it was really good. And today, here we are, Kidney Conversations.
On World Kidney Day.
That's right, on World Kidney Day. Later on today, we have the Digital Day, which is you can follow life-saving BKA content on our social pages. So this is an initiative where people can get interactive with the Barbados Kidney Association. They can wear green, take a picture, and tag the BKA when they post it on their social media. We want you to use 2 hashtags, or one or the other, whichever you prefer. Those are hashtag #KidneysForLife.
Kidneys number four, life.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And hashtag World Kidney Day.
Makes sense.
Yes. On Saturday, we are expecting to have the most wonderful fundraising concert. It's going to be held at the Clock Tower there in Garrison.
Yes.
And guess what?
Yes.
We're going to have the Barbados Defense Force Band there.
Beautiful.
Lots of local entertainers.
Yes.
Lots of good food and drink on sale.
I hear that I'll be hosting.
That's right. You'll be hosting as well as my boy Patrick Salt Benwick.
Big up Salt.
For sure. And that starts at 3 p.m. In the afternoon.
Yes. A family affair.
Definitely a family
affair. I'm turning the price there, Adrian.
Free of cost.
$3.99, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Not a dollar you got to spend. But of course, it is a fundraising concert. Please walk with your appropriate donation. And of course, food and drinks will be on sale. A lot happening as we continue our kidney conversations. Well, this is the last in the current series, but we're looking forward to continuing those kidney conversations.
Yes.
As we've been speaking with the Vice President of the Barbados Kidney Association, Mr. Adrian Boyce. mm-hmm. and joined capably by Nurse Ruth Shuri. Thank you, Sister Ruth.
Pleasure being here.
Pleasure having you, and have a wonderful day, everyone. Take care.